The resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline. The mainstream media would make you think that that fight is over, everything is done, but it is far from over. There are people wintering there, including a KABU reporter. KABU is there to continue showing what is happening, to continue being part of that discussion. 877-500-5266, and we're looking for your support so that we can continue bringing you the news that matters, the news you won't hear anywhere else that gets neglected by the mainstream media. We have $500 worth of donations we're looking for this hour. You have 30 minutes to support this evening newscast in its important work, and your donation will be matched. 877-500-5266. Enjoy KABU right now.
Welcome to the September edition of The State of Cannabis. I'm Ed Melnick.
And I'm Amy Paradotta.
The State of Cannabis is aired on the fourth Friday of every month at 5:30 p.m. We hope to provide listeners with relevant information on the subject of cannabis in Oregon and around the country.
Tonight we have Leland Berger updating us on issues he's working on with various Oregon government agencies. We also have Donald Morse, director of the Oregon Cannabis Business Council. He's going to be talking on the importance of the Growers Fair last month. Eric Wendt, chief science officer at Greenleaf Lab, gives us the inside story on cannabis testing. And finally, Paul Stanford talks about his involvement in the cannabis industry and this weekend's Hempstalk event.
Leland Berger joins us again this month. Leland is an attorney, and he is a member of the Normal Legal Committee and chairs the Portland Normal Legislative Committee. So what's going on, Leland?
Well, since last month, I think we obtained the Legislative Committee has been working on reopening the cannabis clubs and creating licensing for special events and special event server licensing, so it's like alcohol. And we do have a legislative concept about that. We are meeting with the governor's office about clemency for cannabis prisoners, and we are hopeful to go forward on a bill that would make it unlawful for employers to fire employees for off-site cannabis use. Rowan Wilson was a medical marijuana cardholder in Nevada, and she went to a what's called a FFL, a federal licensed gun dealer, and to buy a firearm, and she told, it's a little complicated, but it works like this. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, had sent a letter to all of the FFLs saying that they couldn't sell to people who they knew were medical marijuana patients, and it has to do with the fact that under federal law, it's a felony to possess a firearm if you are an illegal drug user or addict. Now, whether a medical marijuana patient is an illegal drug addict, whether illegal in this context means state illegal or federal illegal, has not been litigated. But for purposes of this case, the court assumed that it was federally illegal. Ms. Wilson left the question on the form blank about whether she was an illegal drug user or, and she told the FFL licensee that she wasn't using marijuana. She just got the card because she wanted to have the card. And the court ruled that the card alone was reasonable, made it reasonable to infer that she was illegally using drugs, and that the FFLs are, that it was appropriate for ATF to give guidance to FFLs to not sell to medical marijuana patients, and upheld that as against several constitutional challenges. I think we can expect that case to go to the United States Supreme Court.
Now, we're going to have that problem a great deal, aren't we, with the whole concept of things being legal in a state and illegal federally. That's going to be around for a while, causing all kinds of problems.
Well, I'm hopeful that you know, depending on what happens in the, not just in the presidential election, but in the congressional elections, that we could get legislative fixes for this. So, for example, on the weapons thing, it would be easy. It's 18 USC 922 G3 that prohibits illegal drug users or addicts. It would be easy to add, except for registered medical marijuana patients, or except for people who are using marijuana in a state where it's legal for them to do so. It would be easy for them to do that.
And the interesting thing is that we've got at election time in November, we probably have several more states coming online for either recreational or coming online, starting out with medical marijuana. And eventually, one would think that after a few years of this, most of the states are going to come in, and then the federal ought to just declare it legal, right?
Well, yes. I that certainly is the strategy. I read recently a poll that has it passing in California and in Massachusetts, the legalization initiatives there. The other ones, Nevada, Maine, and New Hampshire, I think, are the other ones, are up in the air. On the medical side, Florida looks likely to pass. And in Florida, they require a supermajority, and it's likely to pass by a supermajority. We're certainly hopeful about Missouri. And although I know you can't finish the word that starts with cluster on the radio, but they have that kind of a problem in Arkansas, where there are two competing medical initiatives. But having a southern state be a medical marijuana state, and two, you know, if you count Florida and Arkansas, would be huge. And having California, which, you know, if it was its own country, would be the eighth largest economy in the world, having legalized cannabis, I think would also make a tremendous difference. You know, the fact is that we have a vacancy in the Supreme Court that Congress isn't going to fill until after the presidential election. Unless there is a significant change in, for example, if the Democrats were to take the majority in the Senate, for example, you know, it's seeing more movement on our federal legislation is just, I think, likely to continue at a slow pace.
Thanks for the update.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Leland Berger.
Alaska regulators have begun approving the first retail marijuana licenses under the state's recreational cannabis law. Frozen Buds co-owner Destiny Need hopes to open her shop by about October 1st, assuming she can source enough marijuana from growers. The Marijuana Control Board began approving cultivation and testing licenses back in June with the aim of getting growers and testing labs up and running before retailers, in the hopes of streamlining the industry's rollout. Roughly 20 total retail licenses were up for review last week. One of New Mexico's 35 medical marijuana producers may have landed his business in hot water after he put a cannabis plant on display at the state fair this week. Duke Rodriguez, the CEO of Ultra Health, said he paid $2,000 for a booth at the fair and informed fair officials beforehand that he was planning on displaying a marijuana plant and several other items to promote medical marijuana as an agricultural asset to New Mexico. The Albuquerque Journal reported, during the fair Thursday, a fair manager informed him that there had been a mistake and that he would have to remove the plant and any printed materials with images of marijuana plants. At first, Rodriguez told the Journal, he was told that he'd be allowed to keep the plants on display until the end of the day. And then a state police officer informed him that he would have to remove everything right away. A department spokesperson told the Journal in an email that it will take appropriate action, which can include suspending their business operation and other disciplinary action. The matter is opposite of what occurred in the recent Oregon State Fair, where cannabis plants were welcomed by officials. Associate Barry Height spoke with Donald Morse, director of the Oregon Cannabis Business Council, at the Growers' Fair last month in Salem.
Last year we were at the Oregon State Fair. We had a booth and it was strictly educational, handing out pamphlets and flyers about how cannabis is grown and how it's processed, etc. This year we stepped up the game. We said, let's have a growers fair a couple weeks before and do live plant judging as you see behind me. And then the winners of this judging in 2 weeks will actually appear in a special booth at the Oregon State Fair for all 250,000 people if they want to come in and look at it. A lot of these people, it'll be the first time they've ever set eyes on a cannabis plant. And so doing this, we hope to educate the general public and take away the mystique of cannabis or you know, the cloud that we're operating under. And it's only through education that I think we can do that.
Donald Morse, director of the Oregon Cannabis Business Council.
We'd like to take a short break here to remind you that we're nearing the end of our membership drive. There's no better time than now to call and support KBOO by becoming a member.
Thanks, Ed. And that number is 877-500-5266. The state of cannabis is one of a shared public health concern. If you are interested in supporting stuff like this, supporting programming that takes a deeper look at emergent markets and their intersection between politics, between regulation, between social justice, and call 877-500-5266 and support KBOO in creating innovative, groundbreaking stuff, productions. I've got this stuff on my mind. I know you do too. Join me in becoming a member. 877-500-5266 or donate securely at kboo.fm. We are nearing the end of our membership drive and I have a $200 goal to make. I need you to call right now and call in with your support, 877-500-5266, and support this groundbreaking work, this groundbreaking investigation of the state of cannabis and our shared public issues surrounding it. Not only does this show talk about important issues, it brings to light some issues that you would probably not have even thought of. 877-500-5266 is the number to call and support us now. Become a member before the end of the drive. We're looking to raise $200 in this time right now. Again, the way to do it, 877-500-5266. Stay informed with KBOO. We're here for you 24 hours a day. 877-500-5266.
Well, Amy, tonight we still have Eric Wendt from Greenleaf Lab and Hemstock founder Paul Stanford.
That's right, Ed. As a matter of fact, the full rollout of Oregon's much-anticipated recreational cannabis industry next month could be delayed owing to problems with the accreditation of marijuana testing labs. The Oregon Environmental Laboratory Accreditation Program is claiming to be overworked and understaffed. That means that the agency may not be able to accredit enough labs in order to satisfy required testing for recreational products in time for the industry to begin full adult use sales. The first labs to be licensed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, also known as the OLCC, which is overseeing the new recreational market, were Pyxis Labs and Greenleaf Lab. Both labs are located here in Portland. The OLCC hopes to license more labs by the beginning of October. A total of 17 labs have submitted applications for licenses so far. Among the regulatory hurdles, all labs must obtain a separate state accreditation before they're eligible for OLCC licensing. The OLCC has estimated labs will begin testing roughly 2,500 samples per month to keep pace with demand. Ed spoke with Eric Wendt, Chief Science Officer at Greenleaf Lab.
Well, Eric, I understand that Greenleaf Lab is really the first accredited marijuana lab in the state. Is that right?
So we were one of the first cannabis analytical facilities to receive accreditation from ORLAP, on behalf of the state of Oregon. Yeah, it was really exciting.
Now as of, gosh, I don't know, a few weeks ago at least, there were really only two labs that I know of that were, it was another lab, was it Pyxis?
Yes, that's correct.
And are you still the only two?
No, there have been more added to the list, and every week more get added to licensed and accredited list. And so last time I checked, it was, I think, five or six. And we're anticipating there's probably going to be upwards of 10 or more by October.
That brings us to, gosh, what is it that you test for?
Yeah. So we test all products before they hit the market. And so depending on the product type, the OLCC and the OHA break things into three different product categories. And that's usable marijuana, concentrates and extracts, and then cannabinoid products. Usable marijuana is, you know, flower going to a consumer, or flower that gets harvested and then gets sent to a processor falls under the same category. Extracts and concentrates are the processors that are making oil or other similar products that concentrate down or extract cannabinoids from flower material. And then cannabinoid products are mostly everything else. Tinctures, capsules, any sort of edibles, salves.
But what is it that you're testing for?
So it depends on the product type. For flower, we're testing for pesticides, potency, moisture, water activity. And extracts and we only have to test analysis process.
Substance D. So are you actually testing these products for, you know?
Yeah. So one of the required analysis, depending on where the product is, falls in the categories, is potency. Through potency, CBDA is also present in a
test
data analyzing patient's health. Continuing to gather analysis data from cannabinoid products or plant material, whichever, and you know, doing bigger studies and seeing how patients react, and different patients with different symptoms or conditions respond to products that have very specific and known quantities of the different cannabinoids.
Are some of those studies going on?
Yeah, of course. You know, they've been happening for a while, and I expect them to, you know, increase as well. I think now with the increased consumer safety aspect, we will continue to see an increase in more of the clinical applications and figuring out, you know, what are the real health benefits of some of these different cannabinoids as well as terpenes. And I think that that's going to be a really interesting and exciting new area that we're going to see a lot of expansion in.
Well, some of the equipment must be incredibly expensive to do these kind of tests.
Yeah, that's one of the big hurdles with the laboratory industry. You know, just the requirements to do the new pesticide testing is about, you know, $600 to $1 million worth of instrumentation. And so it's been a real challenge from the labs to upgrade and acquire that necessary technology in order to do the testing that's been required.
What about hemp?
So, you know, hemp's happening.
But you don't have to test that?
So the state, we're still waiting to hear back from the state about the exact testing requirements for hemp.
Since it's not really, in most cases, an edible thing or a smokable thing, and it's being used for industrial, why would they even have to test it?
Right. Yeah. Again, so I'm not, you know, they haven't reached out to us and been very communicative about what are the requirements for testing hemp yet.
Well, Eric Wendt, Chief Science Officer here at Greenleaf Labs, thank you for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And finally tonight, Paul Stanford, the founder of the annual Portland event Hempstock, talked with Ed about his involvement in the cannabis industry and this weekend's Hempstock event, which will be taking place at the Tom McCall Waterfront Park in downtown Portland.
Well, Paul, you have a long history of working in the cannabis industry. I think you're one of the founders of many things going on.
Well, you know, when I started back in I first went to a marijuana protest in Washington, D.C. in 1978. I was just a week after my 18th birthday. So that's almost 40 years ago, 38 years ago. And so I find it pretty exciting after this long winter of discontent of the rat execution for simple Malaysia and Indonesia, Singapore. So it's a long process every week. My late, the petrochemical sons of a bitches industries. This myth out there about we have to
talk a little bit about hemp starter.
Our 12th was in the Portland hemp accessing. It was about 19, or might have been 96. The market is on the other side of that little, next to the Morrison Bridge in that same little area where they opposed us and had planes and boats and helicopters. And we've had them going about 19. Festival, the first one with that name was 2005. So this will be our 12th one.
So what was the basic concept behind doing them?
We wanted to teach people about the oldest crop and the most productive crop and the benefits of medical marijuana, industrial hemp, and cannabis legalization. So that has been the emphasis, and to do that through speakers and music and vendors and offer a place for our community to come together. You know, worldwide, there are more people who use marijuana than any religious group out there, whether it's Islam, Christian, individually. There are more cannabis smokers worldwide than any single religious group. And so we have a large community. It's a very peaceful community, a loving community, and we wanted a place to bring our community together and to work on expanding our rights.
So we're talking about hemp stock, which happens to be tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, September 24th and 25th. What's going to happen
we have a number of bands. Tomorrow we have Bad Dog, and they've been playing at all of our hemp stocks. John Trudell gave his last public performance with Bad Dog last year. He passed away from cancer about 5 weeks after he performed at hemp stock, and his band is going to perform there again. Some world-class musicians, followed up by the Herbivores. We have libertarian activist Judge Gray, Judge James Gray of Orange County, California. He's going to be coming and speaking tomorrow. Of course, I'll be speaking. We have a number of other speakers coming from around the country and around the world. So, and there'll be music all day. So we'll open at 10 a.m. on Saturday, the 24th, until 10 p.m. And then on Sunday from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m.
Wonderful.
We're right there at the same bowl that the Blues Festival is in, the west side of the Hawthorne Bridge in Portland's Tom McCall Waterfront Park, right next to the marina.
And let's see, is there a charge to get in?
It's absolutely free. There are no gates. There are no fences. There are no searches of your bags. So it's a free event. It's completely paid for by our vendors and sponsors. And so we urge you to come down and support us.
All right, very good.
The park is enforcing a non-smoking policy in the public parks, and we have to abide by that. We'd like to set up a smoking area for adult-only access, and we're working on doing that for future events, but we won't be able to do that this year. So, you know, of course, we won't be arresting anyone ourselves or, you know, do anything, but we will publicly announce from the stage and in signs and advertisements that it's a non-smoking event. And so, of course, what people eat is at their own discretion. And I personally don't have any problem with anyone eating anything made of cannabis. And I don't think there's any law really that can stop a person from doing that. So enough said.
Okay. Paul Stanford. Mm-hmm. Thanks for talking with us today.
Hey, you're welcome, man.
Well, that's it for this month, Amy.
Well, it's been an exciting month, and we're going to top it all off with Hemp Stock tomorrow and Sunday.
That's right, Amy. And I'd like to invite all of our listeners to come down to the KBOO booth at Hempstock and say hi.
Until next month, I'm Amy Paradotta.
And I'm Ed Melnick, wishing you all the best.
You are listening to K Radio Station because we care about this world. We care about you. We care about community. And we know you are there enjoying this information and this new program with Ed Melnick. Please do 00-5266. The State of Cannabis is the program, and you are listening to it on KBOO, KBOO, which I'm just going to go ahead and put out there. KBOO, we were in fact named after a strain of cannabis. It's true. The Berkeley Boo was apparently the favored strain in 1968 as people were picking our call letters.
Indeed it was.
The and stuff of legend.
We support this incredible innovative work. The State of Cannabis covers issues near and far, and it supports the community that is growing within that. I mean, that has always existed, but has recently come to the fore. And we're looking at issues deeply beyond just the consumer experience of this new market. So please support KBOO in this innovation and this reporting. 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
I'm going to say, you know, I've been doing public affairs. This is Ani. I'm here with Becky.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
We forgot to introduce ourselves because, you know, it's,
we're people.
Come on, we're here. You know, but I got to say, I've been working on this issue on the air since the 90s as people, as organizers, as activists came together to first try to get medical marijuana legalized in Oregon. And my show, Positively Revolting, we would talk with Paul Stanford and other activists in the area throughout the 90s trying to make that a reality. It became a reality, and now we even have recreational use in Oregon. Again, this is only the fourth state to actually have recreational use, and this is a growing movement, and right now we are asking you to support this work. We have been on the cutting edge. We have been actually helping to bring changes into being through educating the public on our airwaves. Please support those airwaves right now. 877-500-5266. Making positive change happen with your help. 877-500-5266. You can also join us online, kboo.fm. However, you can do it. We ask you to do it now. $5 a month, $10 a month. Become a sustaining member of KBOO today, and you know that your support will come into KBOO all year round in little tiny easy bite-sized pieces. And you can give a substantial amount that way and never really hurt your own pocketbook. It's great. It's a wonderful, empowering act for your entire community. Help to change the world. Help make it a better place. Participate right now. 877-500-5266.
And please join us in supporting citizen activism. Claim your place in this community where the free flow of information reigns supreme. 877-500-5266. Support KBOO right now with your love and your dollars. 877-500-5266. Please call now.
And thank you for all the people that have called. It's 559. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up is Bread and Roses. I do want to say that on Sunday, there will be a gathering of support and unity and a celebration of Portland's strides in supporting Standing Rock in their struggle to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. Join folks as they stand in solidarity, joining forces across cultural and economic divides to support the Standing Rock tribe and all the unified Native American tribes from across the United States that are gathering at the Sacred Stone Camp. It's co-hosted by Portland 350, Rising Tide, and it's Sunday, September 25th at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Southwest Ankeny Street and Park Street in Portland. And we are about to air part one of an interview that our Pamela Santos did with local Portland luminary Lydia Yuknovich. As we air this interview, I hope you'll consider calling 877-500-5266. And again, thanks for everyone who called. Here we go.